Amazing. In my mind, that video was a little bit shorter, so that's why I was standing there a little bit long. But hey, everyone, my name is John. I am the Young Adults Pastor here at The Rocks, and I want to extend a very, very warm welcome to everyone, all of you here this morning, especially if this is your very first time here at The Rocks. I want to let you know that you are our very honored guest. Just like Pastor Mike said, after this morning's gathering, we would love for you to join our new guest lounge, which is in the foyer as you exit the auditorium to the right. We have some amazing leaders who would love to chat and get to know you a bit better as well. I'm sure you saw the sign as you walked in the front door has a giant "No Perfect People Allowed." And this is something that we say every Sunday morning because we need reminding that no one in this world is perfect. And that's why we are in need of God's grace every single day. So that's why we gather here in the morning to join in community, to join in fellowship as we learn some biblical truths together in community together. So I just want to wish you all a very happy new year this week, and I'm not sure what your plans were on New Year's Eve. Myself, I spent it playing some card games, Saboteur, for all my Saboteur fans out there. Definitely go check it out if you have a chance. I'm not sure what your New Year's plans were, but Pastor Daniel preached an amazing message last Sunday called A New You Resolution. So I'm not sure if you made any New Year's resolutions this year, but Pastor Daniel sent me this hilarious photo, and I can't help but share it before we start off this morning. And so as I get my clicker all sorted out, we'll go and we'll read it together. So what it says is this: Dear New Year's Resolution. Dear New Year's Resolution. Sweet. Well, it was fun while it lasted. Sincerely, January 2nd. So I'm not sure if any of you have made any New Year's resolutions yet, or maybe you have already and they haven't quite come to completion. One of the things that Pastor Daniel said last Sunday was actually by June, 90% of New Year's resolutions are actually kind of failed or down the pit, so you're not alone if this is you. But I just want to kind of recap a little bit of what Pastor Daniel shared last weekend, just so we're on the same page, just so we're all kind of on the same ballpark in terms of what I'm going to be sharing here this morning. So the very first thing I want to share is a principle that Pastor D said: it is always a mistake to decide what you want to accomplish before you first determine who you want to be. Pastor Daniel said, it is always a mistake to decide what you want to accomplish before you first determine who you want to be. And the reason is because of this: who you will be, who you are, will eventually show up in what you do. And there's a couple examples that Pastor Daniel used. And my favorite example is the example of the NBA player. And there's an NBA player who was like really successful, and he really knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to become an all-star basketball player, and he did that. But he didn't fix what was deep inside of him first before he made it to that place. He had deep financial issues in his life. He had deep family issues in his life. But he didn't resolve those issues before he accomplished what he wanted to do. Therefore, he actually suffered massive consequences once he became famous because those things weren't dealt with to begin with. So he actually became bankrupt after only being a couple years in the NBA. That's millions and millions of dollars just wasted because he did not decide who he wanted to be before he decided what he wanted to do. And so therefore, as a result, kind of in conclusion, what Pastor Daniel said is you should get some B goals. And so these B goals are basically to decide what you want to be before deciding what you want to accomplish. So example of this is maybe you want to be more honest. Maybe you want to be more kind. Maybe you want to be a better family man. So these are the kind of things that you need to decide who you want to be before you decide what you want to accomplish. So that's a bit of a recap in terms of what Pastor Daniel shared. Just kind of to kickstart off what my message is going to be about, I have a quick 2-minute video, so I would love if you just tune in quickly, and we'll be back shortly.
Jesus, I have decided to give you this.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, whoever sits here makes all the decisions, right?
I know, and I'm always making decisions, but you make the perfect decisions, so you just sit right down and start making them.
Wow, I'm honored. I mean, this feels great.
Kathleen, guess what? I just got my new credit card. It's time to go shopping.
Oh, really? I thought your husband and you were going to pay off debt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, money's kind of tight, but I figured he doesn't have to know about it. So do you want to go with me?
No.
No?
Why?
What I mean is, I don't know. So let me check my schedule, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay, yeah, give me a call.
Okay.
Kat, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm kind of one-cheeking it here. Look, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You wanted me to sit here, right?
Well, of course.
And whoever sits here makes all the decisions?
Right.
So what's the problem?
There's not a problem. I don't know what I was thinking. Really, please, here, sit down.
As long as you're sure.
I'm sure.
Okay. So, Let's start over.
Okay.
All right. Kat, I noticed that you've been losing your temper a lot lately.
Right. So, okay, Jesus, you know what? I know what you're going to say, but, see,
you
don't know the whole situation, you know?
Well, all I'm saying is that your attitude is a decision.
Yes, of course, but I have a lot going on right now.
Well, I know you're under a lot of pressure.
Pressure? Jesus, you don't understand pressure, okay?
This isn't working, Kat.
What?
We can't both sit on the seat. It's either me or it's you.
Okay, I know. You know, I didn't think it was going to be this hard, but here, just take it.
No, I'm not going to take it. You have to give it to me.
Okay, here.
Kathleen, make a choice.
I can't.
You just did.
Boom, mic drop. So this lady actually wasn't given a name, so we're going to call her Karen for the sake of consistency throughout the rest of this message here this morning. So the very first question I kind of want to ask you is, who's in control of your life? Who is really in control of your life? And like, kind of just like Jesus said in this quick video, it's a choice. It's a decision that you make. It doesn't just happen. He doesn't just take it from you. You actually have to consciously make that decision of who is in control of your life. In other words, who is sitting on that stool? Who is sitting on the stool that you call life? And are you trying to one-cheek it with Jesus? Or are you giving it full control over to Jesus? Are you giving him full real estate over the space that he is asking for? And so my message this morning is kind of going to be based around this very famous person in the Bible, and his name is Jonah. And Jonah, the book itself is only about 4 chapters long, so it's actually quite a small book relatively to the rest of the Bible. But there are some massive, massive biblical truths that I would love to kind of just bring out. It's actually a very famous kids' church story, so you may have heard it if you've grown up in church before. Maybe this is your first time in church as well. That's totally cool. You don't have to know the entire story to follow along this morning. So I just want to ask you that if you're here this morning, that I just really encourage you to just lean in and to just really get invested into what's being shared with you this morning, because I really believe that if your heart, if your mind is in the right place, you can definitely get something out of the message here this morning. So without further ado, I would love to read Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. And so it goes something along the lines of this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. So this isn't Tarsh. This is like Tarshish. Tarshish is a real place. But this, basically, Jonah ran away very clearly from God's calling in his life. And so Jonah is this prophet. So we know from other parts of the Bible that Jonah is this prophet. So basically he's this like really big man of God. And yet someone who knows so much about the word of God, knows so much about the character of God, actually recognizes God's voice, but then turns away. And to me, this is absolutely fascinating. And I know as we kind of read this, and maybe as you're listening to this morning, you're like, how can Jonah be so dumb? Like, how can Jonah like not understand what's being told to him? And how can Jonah not obey? It's so obvious that when God is speaking to you, that you should really just listen and you should really just obey. But it's so true that every single one of us go through something like this on a regular basis. Every single one of us go through something like this on a daily basis. And maybe it's not something as intense as going and preaching to someone, but at the end of the day, we don't follow necessarily what God is asking us to do. We have to recognize that God's calling, God's message to us is more than mere information. God's calling to us is more than mere information. It calls us to respond. It calls something out of us. It calls us to action. It calls us to do something. But we see that Jonah doesn't respond to God's character in relation to God's request, but Jonah responds in his own personal preferences. Jonah responds through a hatred to these Ninevites, and he responds to kind of the like laziness of not wanting to go somewhere, and kind of the idea that he doesn't want to get out of his comfort zone to preach this word to the Ninevites. But he doesn't respond out of God's character. He responds out of his own personal preferences. But we do this too. And as we just saw with Karen in the video, she also doesn't want to give up control. She also doesn't want to listen to what Jesus is telling her and doesn't want to give up that sense of control because she doesn't feel comfortable with it. There's other things that are more important in her life, maybe like her sociology and things like that in her life that she would rather put as a priority. So I'm going to ask you this morning, what is your stool? What is your stool? What thing in your life are you not allowing Jesus to have full control over? What thing are you in your life are you not allowing Jesus to sit full real estate on your stool? Maybe it's your finances. Maybe for you, it's anger. Maybe it's marriage. Maybe it's like singlehood that's like really cramping your style and you're like, man, I just want to find that girl. But like at the end of the day, are you really giving that to Jesus? Are you really giving full control over to Jesus? What is it that God is asking you to give full control over in your life? You know, the thing that Jonah did was that Jonah allowed his sociology and his ideology trump his theology. Jonah allowed his sociology and his ideology trump his theology. So what does this mean? This means that his sociology are things like social pressures, things like what people think of him, kind of the culture of the days. And as we saw with Karen as well, it was so tempting for her to go and join in on the shopping because that was the cool thing to do. That was kind of the current thing to do. And that's the same thing that Jonah was facing as well. What is ideology? Ideology is this kind of, oh, it's way more convenient to do it my way. Or the ideology as well, actually, it'd be much nicer if I didn't have to do that because I'm kind of busy here, what I'm doing. And that's kind of what Jonah is really, really struggling with during these passages, that he's letting his sociology and his ideology actually precede his theology. And that is something that should not happen. As you continue reading in verse 3, it says, he went down to Joppa. Jonah went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. It's so interesting that he tried to flee from the presence of God. He tried to run away physically from God. And like as a man of God, he should know the one basic thing about God is that he is omnipresent. You cannot run away from someone that is God. You cannot run away from this character of God. But however, he still tries to do this. And you know, whenever you think you can run away from the presence of God, it's actually an act of disobedience. And whenever we are disobedient to God's word and what he commands us to do, we are actually trying to run away from his presence as well. Whenever we are disobedient, we are running away from God's presence. And maybe that's not coming to church. You all have done a very good job making it the very first Sunday to church, so good on you. You can say after this morning, I've been to church every single Sunday this year, and no big deal. Stealing Pastor Daniel's joke from last week. Maybe for you, it's not doing that quiet time with God, or maybe for you, it's that dirty little secret that no one knows about. But whatever you're doing, you don't have to be a prophet to be trying to run away from God's presence. You don't have to be this really massive Christian to be able to run away from the presence of God. All you have to do is be a believer who is disobedient to what God commands us to do. But I'm here to tell you this morning that you cannot run away from the presence of God. His presence, you cannot flee from. You know, Jonah, it's interesting. It's so funny for me because after paying the fare, Jonah is making like a massive investment in trying to run away from God. There's some scholars actually believe that Jonah paid for the fares of the entire ship, like all of the crewmen and everything. Like he's like emptying his pockets to run away from God. And like, it's just hilarious the amount of work and the amount of effort that he's trying to do. And our response to God's calling exposes our heart. Our response to God's calling exposes our attitude. It exposes our respect even for the presence of God. We don't think that God can follow us, and that's a lack of respect for God's effectiveness in our lives. And so this is just absolutely fascinating. And so as we read on to the verse number 4, it says, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. There we go. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. The ship actually threatened to break up. You know, the ship is the exact same thing that Jonah was putting his trust in, was the exact same thing that Jonah was putting his confidence in, and that's the thing that God was attacking. That was the exact same thing that God threw a storm at in order to break up. And God is basically saying, since you love that ship so much, I'm going to make sure that the very thing you're putting your trust in breaks apart. You love that ship so, so much, and it's not me, that I'm going to actually send a storm, I'm going to hurl a storm at that in order to break it up. What in your life have you put confidence in that is taking you away from the presence of God, that God needs to specifically hurl a storm at so that he grabs your attention? Maybe it's your finances. Maybe, like I've said before, it's your finances that you've placed your confidence in so that you become numb to the presence of God. Maybe God needs to hurl a storm at that. Maybe it's friendships that you have to become complacent with the presence of God, that God needs to hurl a storm at. Maybe it's an enjoyment that has become so consuming in your life that God just needs to hurl a storm at. I pray that God doesn't have to send a storm your way. I pray that it doesn't come to the point where God is going to throw a storm your way. But trust me, if it gets to that point, he will. And trust me, God will, in order to grab your attention. You know, as we move on to chapter 5, it says, all the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck where they lay down and fell into a deep sleep. Now, I'm a bit of an English nerd. I love like literary devices and like metaphors and similes and onomatopoeias and like lots of these English things. And so the yellow words that I highlighted behind me is actually called a narrative prose. Yeah, you guys are like, yeah, good job. No one cares. No. So why does this matter? So a narrative prose is basically there's more information than what meets the eye. And so what basically is happening is Jonah is going below deck. He's laying down. He fell into a deep sleep. It's just kind of this idea of going lower, lower, and lower. And as Jonah is becoming more disobedient with God, he's actually going lower, lower, lower in the boat. And this is actually a demotion, not a promotion in his life. So as he is making these conscious decisions to go away from God deeper and deeper, deeper, it's actually a demotion in his relationship with God. It's actually a demotion in his life. It is not a promotion. He's not becoming better off because of it. So I guess the whole idea is, how do you know if you have allowed God to be in control of your life? This is kind of the big question that I'm kind of been aiming towards. How do you know that you have allowed God to be in control of your situation? And the answer is quite simple. It basically is that everything you do should be tuned to him. You know, in 1 Corinthians it says, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Everything you do should be tuned to God. You know, I love this metaphor, again, of this guitar. And I love this idea of like this guitar representing my life. And I'm not sure if you guys know how to play guitar. I don't. Dev knows how to play guitar. And basically what happens is there's like, I think, 6 strings, I think. And the top string is called the G string. So basically for the purpose of this message, I'm going to call it the God string. And basically every string after that is tuned to that top God string. And so if that God string is out of tune, the rest of the guitar will also be out of tune. So we have to make sure that in our lives, that first string, that God string is actually a God string, and it's not like a P string, like a popularity string, or it's not some other string that's mistuned. Because if we tune our life to the wrong thing, the entire guitar will be out of whack. The entire guitar will not sound right. And so that's why we have to make sure that we are tuning our guitar, we're tuning our life first and foremost to God. And if we do that first, then everything else will come up in place. And so that's kind of the hierarchy of needs. And so once you can answer this question, once you can find out in your life who's in control of your life, you can then alter your perspective over your situation. And so that's my second point here. You can alter your perspective in your situation. You know, if you go to a tailor to get your clothes kind of fitted, reshaped to get you fit you properly, usually it's not like a massive change. Usually it's like a tweak here and there, but it makes it fit really, really well. And that's kind of the idea of what an altering of your perspective can do. You know, the definition of alter is on the screen behind me. It says change in character or composition, typically in comparatively small but a significant way. So it doesn't have to be a massive change. This like perspective thing doesn't have to be like a massive shift. It just kind of can be like a, oh, well, that's actually God. Like that's like this is God actually is in control of my life. And that's like a very small change of perspective, but it has massive outworking and it has a very significant outworking. You know, growing up, I have so many music references. I don't really play music, but we're going to go along with it anyway. So growing up, I actually took piano lessons, and I used to play piano as a kid. And I have very, very fond memories of playing piano. And I remember it was in my living room, and we have like this, like, piano, and basically sitting down on this pew, and my mom would always sit to my right. She would always sit kind of beside me on this like white rocking chair that I really remember. She probably sat there because I hated doing like scales and stuff, so she was just like making sure that I didn't run away. But she would sit there every single time I would practice my piano, and I remember very vividly she would always do cross stitch. So cross stitch is like, we call it a needlepoint. It's kind of, you have like this canvas, and basically you have thread that you kind of like make a pattern out of, and basically it makes this really nice picture at the end of it. But from where she was sitting, from where I could see, from my perspective, I could only see the back of her needlepoint. I could only see the back of her artwork that she was doing. So this is the image that I would see from my perspective that she's creating. And so all I can see is like this storm. All I can see is this chaos. You know, from my angle, I couldn't even tell what it was going to be. Like, it just kind of looks like this massive mess of like colors that are kind of being thrown apart. But as soon as I got out of my chair, as soon as I was changed my perspective, as soon as I went to see where she was looking, and when as soon as I saw what she was working on, I saw this masterpiece. And so I could see what she was working on from a different perspective. I could wear a different lens and see the masterpiece that was actually being made through the storm. And so this is exactly what God does with us as well. You know, we hear about Jonah. We've been reading about this Jonah character, and God hurls a storm at him trying to get his attention from a place where he needs to trust in God. And you have to realize that this storm isn't God hating Jonah. This storm isn't God like thrashing on Jonah. This is actually God loving Jonah. This storm is actually God loving Jonah. And be very, very afraid at the moment that God stops pursuing you. This storm is God pursuing Jonah, so take it as a good sign. Be very, very afraid if you don't see these kind of things, because when God leaves you to your own devices and your sin and your mess, that is when you need to be very, very afraid. But if you're in your mess, maybe you see yourself in this storm, but you see evidence of God's character, you see evidence of God's faithfulness come through, your perspective will change on your situation. Your perspective will be so different into what you're going through. And you actually see that at the end of it, we will come out in a masterpiece as well. God comes after us even when we don't want to be pursued by God. God comes after us even when we don't want to be pursued by him. But it's a matter of perspective. You know, when I was growing up, we would always spend our Thanksgiving at my cottage. So I have this cottage that's kind of like a lake house that my family would always go to. And we would go there kind of every summer, every occasion that we got, because it's like nice to be in the outdoors. You don't really get cell service. You kind of just chill out there with your family. And I remember very vividly, I was 16 years old, and I was spending some time up the cottage with my dad and my brother. You know, my mom wasn't feeling so good, so she was just chilling at home. And my auntie was at the cottage as well. And we were all just kind of chilling. And, you know, Thanksgiving weekend, you have to put away your cottage, your deck and your dock, and you have to like cut wood. So there's like a lot of manual labor stuff that has to happen. So we didn't really have a choice not to go up. But I remember it being a very, you know, fun weekend, and it was a very memorable weekend, just being Thanksgiving as well. But then I remember calling my mom, and I remember being on the phone with her, and I remember being like, "Hey, mom, like, how's your day? How's your Thanksgiving? You know, it's going well. You know, not feeling the greatest." And little did I know that that would be the last time that I ever spoke to my mom. You know, my mom was battling with cancer. She battled with cancer for 3 years. And that was a massive storm that went through my life. That was a massive turning point in my life where I really had to change my perspective in what God was doing in my life. You know, it was really easy for me to choose like my preference over what I knew I should do. It was really easy for me to want to be angry and frustrated at God because of what storm was being hurled at me. But I really remember clinging on to this verse in James 1:2 that says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind." And like, this is a massive change in perspective for me, that even through the storm, even through the difficult times, that God is there as well. And those trials are actually, I should consider it pure joy. Not because it's fun, not because it's good, but because God is actually making a masterpiece out of my situation. You know, the circumstance has no message attached to it. You know, life and death happens, and like, yes, it sucks, and I'm not here today saying like I was like that was an easy time for me, but the circumstance itself has no message attached to it. It's how we interpret that circumstance that will impact our faith. You know, when bad things happen to you, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love me when I went through that situation. But the faith factor is when I'm able to find God in life's most pivotal circumstance, that's when my faith grows. That's when my faith is strengthened. But this can only happen once you have determined who is in control of your life. Once you have determined who is in control of your life, you can then have an altered perspective of your circumstance. And once you have an altered perspective of your circumstance, you can then delete any negative behaviors that are happening in your life. So just like at the video at the beginning that we saw with Karen, and she was sitting on the stool, Jesus truly, really wanted to be in the driver's seat, but Karen didn't let her. She was about to make good choices until that lady came around and asked her if she wanted to be socially more acceptable, basically, and go shopping with her. And this is a very bad behavior that Karen actually decided she wanted to partake in. But if Karen had allowed Jesus to be in control of her stool, she would have altered her perspective and she would have deleted those bad habits in her life. And once you fully allow Jesus to sit in your stool, you'll notice a change in your life. There's no way that you can stay the same once you go through this process. If you truly have a changed perspective of God working in your life must look different. There's just something that happens that you can't stay the same. There's habits that are deleted in your nature that just get removed because when you go through this process. And this is the new you resolution. This is how you become a new you. And you know exactly, 2 weeks before my mom passed away, my mom actually got baptized. And you know, my mom was a Christian. My mom was already a Christian. I knew she was already going to heaven. There wasn't any question in my mind that she was already saved. I knew she was saved, but she got baptized for my family. She got baptized for me. You know, the world expects us to act out in anger. The world expects us to be angry in our circumstance. And the world expected her to be upset in her situation and really just be angry at the world, being angry at God because of what she was going through. But she chose to allow God to be in control of her life. She allowed God to alter her perspective and delete those negative behaviors. You know, to see someone struggling who is sick and to see someone declare that a relationship with Jesus shows that she was allowing Jesus to be in control of her life. And because of that, she was at a point where she could have her perspective altered and she could delete those negative habits. You know, this control, alt, delete pattern, what it does on a computer is that it terminates an application or it reboots your operating system. What part of your life do you need to be rebooted? What part in your life do you need to terminate different habits? What part of your life do you need a restart? What part of your life do you need a blank slate to start with God? What functions in your life is God trying to get your attention and say, hey, it's me, God, I'm here. Remember who I am. You know, I can be here this morning. I can actually say with confidence in my heart that my mom's passing was actually probably the best thing that happened to my life because it strengthened my relationship with Jesus. I wouldn't be in church here today if it wasn't for that happening in my life. I wouldn't be a Christian here today if that process didn't happen in my life. And so that's a very thing, maybe a morbid thing to say for a lot of people here this morning, but for me, it was the very best thing that happened in my life. And that's because I have a changed perspective of my situation and I can delete those habits that the world wants me to go through. That's my new me resolution. So what is your new you resolution? Maybe you're here this morning and you actually don't consider yourself a Christian. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never been to church before and you're kind of wondering what this is all about. Or maybe you are a Christian and you've been coming to church for a while, but you feel like deep down there's just something that's not right inside. There's something that just needs to be changed for you in this world. And I'm here this morning to let you know that maybe the storms in your life, maybe the things that you're actually going through are divine interruptions from God. Maybe those terrible things that God's hurling at you are divine interruptions from God, who's trying to get your attention, who's trying to get you to stop abruptly what you're doing so you can turn towards him and to the direction that God wants you to go. You know, despite our attempts to resist him, God interrupts our self-centeredness in order that we can reboot. God stops our self-centeredness so that we can reboot, in order so that you can be a new you. All you have to do is declare, God, you're in control of my life. I want an alternate perspective. Change me from the inside out. So in a few short moments, the band's going to come on stage and they're going to sing a song. And it's going to be another song that we've sung already this morning. But I just really want you to kind of meditate on the words and just really reflect on the words. And when I come back, we're going to do a chance where you're going to have an opportunity to actually respond to this morning's message. You're going to have a chance to respond to what God's calling from each and one of us this morning.
By my side, when the light speaks loud.
You know, eternal life isn't something that you can earn. Eternal life isn't something that we deserve. But eternal life is a gift from God. It's through grace alone that we can receive eternal life. And in a few short moments, I'm going to give every single one of us an opportunity to put our faith in Jesus for the first time, or maybe it's a recommitment to that relationship with Jesus as well. And if this is the decision that you make here this morning, I can guarantee you it is the best decision you'll make of 2018 and in the rest of your life as well. You know, we've been listening about this character, Jonah, in the Bible and how he's trying to run away. He's trying to flee from the presence of God. But we have the Bible, we have this book so that we can learn from these other people's mistakes. We can learn from different things that have happened in the past, and we can make a change in our own life. So with everyone's head down and eyes closed, just to allow everyone a little bit of privacy, I'm going to give everyone here an opportunity to respond to Jesus here this morning. I'm going to start off with the bad news. The bad news is there's nothing you can do to earn your way into heaven. There's nothing that you can do as a human in order to be good enough to make it into heaven. But the good news is that God sent his son Jesus, and his son Jesus came and became sin and paid the penalty of sin on the cross so that you and I could have eternal life and could be forgiven, could be transformed in our life, and we can encounter and become in a relationship with Jesus, have a relationship with our Savior. So what's going to happen is I'm going to count to three in a few short moments. And if that's you this morning, if you want to declare that you want to come into a relationship with Jesus for the first time, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Maybe you want to re-enter into a relationship. You are recommitting your life to Jesus, maybe for the second time, maybe for the third time, the fourth time, the 20th time. This is also a moment for you. After the 3 seconds, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If you feel that prompting in your heart, if you feel that conviction in your heart, I encourage you not to ignore that this morning. I encourage you to respond in faith and what Jesus is calling us to be. So if that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand after three. 1, 2, 3. All across the room, if you can raise your hand. I see your hand, you can put it down. I see your hand, you can put it down. Yep, amazing, over there as well. Fantastic. You know, this is a very scary moment, and if you feel your heart beating, I just pray that you have the courage to just raise your hand and declare that here this morning. The moment's not over. There's still lots of time left to respond to Jesus. Many people across this room have already declared that with you. You know, this moment is only in between you and Jesus. It's in between you and God. There is no one else watching. And let this be the best decision that you make in 2018. A couple more moments as we allow people to respond. Amazing. So what's going to happen now is that I'm going to lead you all in a prayer. And this prayer doesn't have anything magical to it, but the words have basically an expression of what has just occurred here this morning. It's an expression of that newfound faith. So if you're a Christian here this morning, I want you to join in on this prayer as well as we welcome in everyone else who have prayed this prayer for the first time or maybe recommitting their life to Jesus as well. So let's pray together as a church family so that we can then welcome our new family back home as well. So everyone together with me, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jesus. I surrender my life to you. I am a sinner. Thank you for sending your son Jesus, who died on a cross, who became sin, so that I can be forgiven and I can receive eternal life. From this day forth, I give my life to you. Amen. Let's give a massive round of applause for those people who prayed that prayer here this morning. You know, in the Bible, it says that whoever prays that prayer, there is a party in heaven for every single person who prays that prayer. So this morning, there is definitely a party going on up in heaven as well. So if you did pray that prayer, I want to let you know that we have some people who would love to chat with you and tell you kind of what that next step is in your journey. We're going to have some prayer leaders up in the front who can you can just have a chat with. You can also chat with anyone at the new guest lounge, or you can chat with myself or any of the people in the front row here after the gathering here this morning. So make sure you don't go home. We also have some free Bibles at the connection desk that you're more than welcome to have for you as well. You can take home and start reading that for yourself and discover the more truths that we have as well. And then what a better opportunity to find some more of those answers at our answer course, which is happening starting this week by our very own Pastor Sid, who will be running that course as well. So definitely come check it out. That's a great first step for you if you've raised your hand here this morning as well. So it's our custom in this church to end off our service with a prayer of blessing. So if you'll join me, and then you can go off and enjoy your morning as well. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the message that you have spoken through me together this morning. I just pray a prayer of blessing over everyone here. I pray a blessing over everyone's family, over everyone's health, over everyone's work, everyone's life, Lord Father, that you will continue to make these people abundant financially and emotionally and spiritually as well, Lord Father, that you continue to work in them every single day of their lives. I pray for this all in your mighty name. Amen. Thanks, everyone.